many people make a mistake. They think that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah only applies when people are young and they're students. So you go to school. So you have to go to school to study elementary school, high school, whatever. So you go to school and you study Torah. This is not correct. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah applies even to people who are retired, older people, healthy, sick, from the day you become bar mitzvah till the day you die. Chiyuv Talmud Torah is constant, and it's not only on students. A lot of other people make a mistake. They think, yeah, there's a mitzvah Talmud Torah for rabbis, from the Chachin. They have to learn Torah, they have to teach Torah. But for Balabatim, why are they obligated to learn Torah? It's not their basics. This is not correct. Every day, we all daven in the Shmones, we be saying Chalkeinu B'Seres Secho. Chumash doesn't say that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is only for rabbis and for the Chachin. It applies to businessmen as well, to everybody. Every 7.5 years, there's a Siyum HaShas made by the Daf Yomi people. The overwhelming majority of the participants in the Siyum HaShas are businessmen and doctors and lawyers and engineers and Indian chiefs. They're not Rabbanim, they're not Mechatim. The overwhelming majority are Balabatim. We have a problem in America. I guess you have the same problem in America. So we have to have relations with the Catholic Church a little bit. So the last 15 years, a group of galochim come to visit. We're not the only ones who are blessed. They visit. They visit Targadas and Chaim Berlin. They visit Lubavitch. They visit Satmar. So they visit Yeshiva University also. They come to Yeshiva University specifically more so than the others because they have a problem. So they think that we can help them solve their problem. They have a problem that in Europe, anyone who goes to university doesn't want to attend theological seminary because it's austere. Going to university, you learn about the whole world, you learn about science and everything. So what kind of ridiculous religion is this? Nothing corresponds to reality. So they're wondering, how come by us there's no contradiction? How come we have a college and yeshiva and people get smicha in the same building and everything? So there are many simple terutz. The simple terutz is that there's a difference between a true religion and a false religion. The true religion was given by the very Adam who created the world, the same one who made the Chukei HaTeva, science and chemistry and physics and biology and everything. He's the one who gave the Torah. So there aren't any contradictions. If you talk about Avodah Zarah, of course Avodah Zarah is contradiction to university studies. There are many terutz in there. That's the main terutz. Another terutz who wants to be celibate. Shuvah Dafnazar, you have to take an oath of celibacy. Other galochim take an oath of poverty. Who wants to be poor? There's no mitzvah to be poor. There's no mitzvah to be rich, but there's no mitzvah to be poor. Anyway, so they come every year. Every other year, they come to America to visit with different groups, and they come to Yeshiva University. They think we can somehow help them. So I remember one occasion, quite a few, it must have been 7 years ago. The last time there was the Siyum HaShas, so they came. And a group of rabbeim had to sit with these galochim and entertain them. So we were sitting in Dr. Lamb's office, and they had Julie Berman is the chairman of the board of Yeshiva University. He has smicha from the yeshiva, but he is a lawyer by profession. So he, as the chairman of the board, he was sitting with the galochim talking. So sitting and talking, dvarim shemat b'kach, no substance, nothing. So then, at the end of that session, Mr. Julie Berman is explaining to them, do you know what Limud HaTorah is? The obligation to study Torah applies even to Balabatim, not only to rabbis. And everyone has to learn Torah. And he starts explaining what the Daf Yomi is. Read 2 pages of Gemara every day, and in 7.5 years you finish. And tonight there's going to be the Siyum HaShas. And he describes there's going to be so many thousands of people in Madison Square Garden, whole story. And they have translation to English and to Yiddish and all languages, whatever. And he gave such a description. They said they wanted to attend. A whole bunch of the Cardinals wanted to attend. So he arranged that he got tickets for them. He said, you can't come with your outfits. You can't come with the tzlovim, with the uniforms. So they came in plain suits and they attended. They were nilo b'nishtayma. They never heard of such a thing, Talmud Torah. And he was explaining, most of the people who attend are doctors and lawyers and engineers. They're balabatim, businessmen. They're not rabbis. They're not mechanchim. Chiyuv Talmud Torah is for everybody. A lot of people make another mistake. They think the Iker Hatzlach and learning is if you can ask a Gevaldige Kasha, you stump the Rebbe. Or if Rebbe Kivega has a Kasha on the side of the Gemara, and he says, Hashem Yoy Reinai, and you can do what the Rebbe Shalom's job is, you can answer Rebbe Kivega's Kasha, So that's Hatzlach and learning. But just to plug away, you can't ask any murderous kashas, you can't give any gevaldige tibbutz, and that's not really Hatzlach and learning. You're not really being Matzliach. So this is a big mistake. That's nice. That's the icing on top of the cake. If you can ask a good kasha, you can give a good teretz. That's gevaldig, broad gevaldig. That's not the ikur and leibah atar. The ikur and leibah atar is to know what it says in the chumash, to know how the Torah Shabbat Pei understands the pasuk, and to know how Rav Meir understands the pasuk, how Rav Yudah reads the pasuk, and to know what Abai and Rabbah say. How does Abai read Rav Meir? How does Rabbah read Rav Meir? How does Rashi read Abai? How does Tosfos read Abai? And bottom line, how do we pasuk like Rashi or Tosfos? If you know that, if you know from the beginning to the end, so you know what it says in the Chumash, you know the Masorah of the Torah Shabbat Pei, you know the discussion, you know the Maskana, Shem, Halach HaMaisah, so then you're Matzliach and learning. That some people are brilliant and they can ask Gevaldik Akashas and stump the Rebbe or Shlug up the Shir, it's Goro, Gevaldik. Someone can Shlug up the Shir, someone can answer Rebbe Kivegas Kashas, the Rebbe Kivegas says Hashem Yair Reinai. That's Gor Hatzloch, but even if you're much less than that, it's also Hatzloch and learning. Hatzloch is learning, but the person knows, he understands what he's learning. Others have an attitude of yush. They don't think it's worth even trying to learn because everybody knows there's so much in Torah. You can't fathom, no human being can fathom everything in Torah. The Gemara in Eretz comments on the Pasuk, Rucha me'eretz mida, rucha b'min hayam. That refers to the Torah. There's so much Torah. You go to any library, there's so many svarim. How is it humanly possible to master all of that? That's what the Gemara says. So you may as well give up before you even start, because it's impossible for any human being to master everything. So this is also a big mistake. The Baal HaTanya wrote a Shulchan Aruch. Baal HaTanya was the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he wrote his own Shulchan Aruch. So most of the Shulchan Aruch of the Baal HaTanya is like the Chai Adam. I'll give you the din from the Shulchan Aruch, and I'll give you a kitzah, what the Taz says, what the Magen Avraham says, what the Shach says. I'll give you Hachra, the Pesach Aloch. There's one section where you had to rewrite everything from the beginning. The section on Hilchas Talmud Torah. Hilchas Talmud Torah, you look in the Rambam, wasn't, after you look in the Baal HaTanya, you look in the Rambam, see, it wasn't so well written. And the Shulchan Aruch also didn't do it. The Shulchan Aruch copy, based on the Rambam, didn't do such a good job. So the Baal HaTanya rewrote the whole Hilchas Talmud Torah. It has a whole new country with Hilchas Talmud Torah. So he talks about this issue. He points out that every Jewish man has an obligation to master Kol HaTorah Kulo, to learn Kol HaTorah Kulo. How is it possible that the Chazal tell us, Rucha Me'eretz Mida, Rucha V'min Hayam? So he says that only refers to Omek Habonas HaTorah, the depth of understanding. You want to really understand everything, they have to know Reb Shimon, and Reb Baruch Ber, and Reb Naphtali, and Reb Chaim, and all the Svarim, and everyone has something new to say. That's Rucha Me'eretz Mida, Rucha V'min Hayam. But just the text of Kol HaTorah Kulo, that is humanly possible to understand. What, in his opinion, what constitutes the text of Kol HaTorah Kulo, which svarim do you have to have? He says, it's not such a big bookcase. It's smaller than the bookcase in the back. He says, the text of Kol HaTorah Kulo consists of the Chof Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, 24 svarim in Tanakh. Believe it or not, that's also Talmud Torah. A lot of people think, Dori Tanakh, that's not Talmud Torah. That's also Talmud Torah. The Gemara said that Bizman Hazeh, the Ike emphasis should be placed on Lima Torah Sheval Peh. Until the Tkuf of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla, the emphasis was placed, Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla, with the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period. So until then, the Ike emphasis was placed on Torah Shevichsav, and less emphasis was placed on the Torah Sheval Peh. And after the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla, so then the Seder Olam is a history book by the Tana Reb Yosi. Gemara every so often will quote the lines from the Seder Olam. Sometimes the history is relevant. So the Seder Olam has a line, Mishemesu, Nidim Achreinim, Chagas Chai Malachi, Botla Nebuah Yisrael. That was the end of the period of Torah Shebichsav. After that, Kufa, Hato Hosnacho Shmadim Echachamim. You have to concentrate on Torah Shebalpeh. The Igaliba today has to be Torah Shebalpeh. And the Gemara has in the first parak in Baba Basra commenting on the Pasuk Navi Gam Ki Yitnu Bagoyim Ato Akapze. So the Pasuk Yitnu is Miloshim Asnisim. If we'll learn Mishnayis, then we'll be Zeichet to the Gula. Ato Akapze. Kadosh Baruch Hu will gather together all the Jews from all over the world and bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Eni Son the Gula Mele V'schus Liman HaMishnayis. The Gula today, after the days of Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla, the Iker Limud should concentrate on Torah Sheval Peh. And B'schus Limud Torah Sheval Peh, B'schus Limud HaMishnayis will be Zeichot to a Geula. So it doesn't mean people are making a mistake. They think, you're not supposed to learn Torah Shebichsav anymore. You're not supposed to learn Torah Shebichsav. No. If you don't know Chumash, you never understand Gemara. You won't understand Halach if you don't know Chumash. If you don't know the Bible, Ksufim, you won't know Hashkafa. Call them Hashkafa. How do we know Hashkafa? Well, we're going to figure out philosophically how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs his world. You can philosophize till next year. You'll never figure out. The only way we know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world is the way what he told us. He told us, the Nevi'im told us how the Ribbono Shel Olam acts, how he runs the world. And they tell us all of this that we should know the Halakha Midrachav. We were created in Tzelem Elokim. We should preserve our Tzelem Elokim by following the Oifanei HaHanhaga of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Nevi'im tell us how the Ribbono Shel Olam acts. We would never be able to figure out in a million years how the Ribbono Shel Olam acts. So it's important to learn Tanakh. The Chazal tell us the Iker emphasis of Limud Bizman HaZeh should be, we should concentrate mainly on Torah Shebal Peh. But you still have to learn Torah Shebichsav. So the Baal HaTanya says, what constitutes the text of Kol HaTarkum? So this is first of all, the Chof Dalek Kisri HaKadosh, the five Chumashim Chamishu Chumshetar, the 19 Svarim and the Vim Ksuvim. Then he says, Mishnayis, Tosefta, Talmud Babli Yerushalmi, Sifro Sifrei Nechilta, Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. Not so much. Not so much. The Daf Yomi people who are busy working for a living, the lawyers and the doctors and the engineers and the businessmen busy, in 7.5 years they finish the Talmud Bavli. There are people who learn a Daf Yomi and Talmud Yerushalmi. People who learn Mishnah Yomis. People who learn a Perek and Navi every day. And it's not that impossible to cover Kol HaTorah Kula. I tell about a ton of things. The text of Kol HaTorah Kula consists again of the Chof Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, the Torah Shebichsav, Tanakh, Mishnayis, Tosefta, Bavli Yerushalmi, Sifro Sifrei Mechilta, Rambam Shulchan Aruch. If you think about it, it sounds humorous in the beginning. Think about it, well, not so much. It is humanly possible to master all of that. To understand everything to the fullest extent, that's what the Gemara says. Aruch HaMeiris, Midor HaChodim Miniyam. There's no one who can really understand the full depth of everything. But it is humanly possible. It is humanly possible to master the text of Kol HaTorah Kula. You have in recent years, there's such hatzlacha when Talmidim learn in yeshivas and the rabbein transmit to the Talmidim things from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik and Rav Baruch Ber and Rav Shimon Shkop and Rav Naftali and all the gedolim from Europe, all the famous Rashi Yeshiva. So a lot of the Bachim developed the attitude, you're only yotze in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you hear Torah with the highest level, with all of the shiurim. After they leave the yeshiva, they go into business, a lot of them feel, this is not learning. You're not learning all the Rav Shimon's and all the Rav Naftali's. That's people's man. It's a big mistake. What did they do before Rav Shimon was born? What did they do before Rav Chaim was born? Bala Moshe learns Mishnayis with the Rav Tanur, it's gewaldig. If you learn Tanakh with Rashi, it's gewaldig. What's wrong with that? Maybe not on the highest level, but still you go to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. This is a big machla. People tell me that in Eretz Yisrael it's a bigger problem than in America. In Eretz Yisrael, a lot of people who go to the Hesdi yeshivas, go to yeshivas, and then they go out into the regular workforce. So it's a bigger problem in Eretz Yisrael than it is in America. They don't know what it means to learn without all the Rav Chaims and all the Rav Shimons. So America is becoming a little, it was a bigger problem years ago, now it's becoming more common that people leave the yeshivas, and they know that you learn Daf Yomi, it's also the learn. You learn Mishnah, you see. You learn Tanakh, it's also a kiyum of Talmud Torah. We shouldn't make such a mistake, that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is only fulfilled if you learn with all the pilpulim. In fact, the Gemara in the Dorim has a comment that the original plan of the Ribbono Shel Olam was that Moshe Rabbeinu will only give Bnei Yisrael the Piske Halachas, like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, or a Shulchan Aruch. The din in this case is this, din in that case is that. And the whole Pilpula Shel Torah, the whole style that we spend time in the yeshivas to learn, all the Rav Baruch Pehs and all the Rav Shemeshkaps and all the Rav Chaims and everything, this was going to be only for Moshe and his descendants. This was a matana to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he didn't have to share it with the rest of Bnei Yisrael. If he wanted to, he could have kept it on his own. And his descendants would be the only ones who would be able to figure out what the Psak Halach is. They would be able to derive by reading it between the lines and by applying Svaris and Midrash HaTorah and Rashi's, and they would be able to be koveh what the Halachas are. And for Bnei Yisrael, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the original plan was only to learn the dry Halachas. And the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu was very good-hearted. He was noig batoy basayim, and he decided to share pilpulo shel Torah with Bnei Yisrael. So look what a mistake people make. People think that you're only the mitzvah, Yikah mitzvah, Talmud Torah is on this high level with all the Rav Naphtalis and all the Rav Shemeshka. Originally, that was never, the original plan was that wasn't going to be given to us, B'chad, that was only going to be for Moshe Vizaro. So according to the original plan, what was the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Just to learn halachas. That's the main thing, to know what the halachas are. That's what the Balatanya points out in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in the country's Talmud Torah. What is the definition of mitzvahs Talmud Torah? So people think to ask kashas, to give terutzim, to analyze, to philosophize. That's not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What is the same chumash? Lamadetem osam, ushmartem lasosam. What do you mean? Lamadetem osam. You should learn the 613 mitzvahs. The Rama wrote a sefer mitzvahs in Arabic, and he wrote the Mishnah Torah in Hebrew. But the Sefer HaMitzvahs was intended to be the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. Years ago, it was always printed together. The Sefer HaMitzvahs gives you the list of the 613 mitzvahs. That's the Ikar of Talmud Torah, to know what are the 613 mitzvahs. Ulamadatam Osam, to know what they are, to know all of the details of each one of the 613 mitzvahs. So the framework, the layout of the Mishnah Torah is first he gives you the list, which are the 613 mitzvahs. And then he gives section by section by section by section. He says, he's going to have Hilchas Ishus, Hilchas Gerishin, there's so many mitzvahs here. Hilchas Shabbos, there's so many mitzvahs here. Hilchas Lulav, there's so many mitzvahs here. By the time you get to the end of the whole Mishnah Torah, you have completed the whole 613 mitzvahs. That's what it means, Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah means Ulamadatam Osam, to learn all about which are the 613 mitzvahs and what are all of the details of the 613 mitzvahs. So we should really go back to the basics. The Ikar of Talmud Torah really is to know all of the dinim, to know all the details. A lot of people spend so much time on the pilpul, and they ignore the halachas. What are the dinim? What's the din in the chumash? What is the din? What does Rameir say? What does Rabbi Yehuda say? What does Abai say? What does Rava say? That's the Ikar. That's the Ikar of living out there, to know what the facts are, to know what the halacha is. The pilpulim. Pilpulo shel Torah is like the icing on top of the cake. That's the second dessert. The third dessert. A meal is healthy without the dessert, and without the icing on top of the cake. Cake is also good. You don't even need the icing. The Ikar of Limud HaTorah is to have the meal, to have the nutritious meal, to know what are they doing, what is the Sein Chumash, and what is the tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh, and how do we understand that pasuk, and how do we paskan halacha lemaisa. The Pilpulo shel Torah was through the good-heartedness, the kind-heartedness of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was not type of Zion. So he shared it with all of us. Once he shared it with all of us, so that's also a chelik of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But the original plan was that wasn't going to be part of what we were going to learn. In yeshivas, there's always a... tension between... a healthy tension between learning Bikiyas and learning Giyun. About 2-3 months ago, a new volume of Igros Moshe was printed in New York. So I looked at it briefly when it came out. I borrowed it on Shabbos. I didn't get a copy yet. So I didn't see this, but one of the boys that was sitting next to me on Shabbos, this past Shabbos, by the meal in Yeshiva, told me that in the end of the Sefer, they have a collection of letters of Moshe Feinstein on Inyonim of Hashkofet. They have a letter about learning Siddurim in Yeshiva. So he said, the boy tells me that he writes in the Sefer, you can go as slowly as you want in the Iyun Shir, but you have to cover ground in the Bikiyas Sefer. So he says, you have to cover 200 blad a year in Bikiyas. How many people are learning 200 blad a year in Bikiyas? Not so impossible. It's not so impossible. Now, where Rav Kook learned in Balozhin, he used to learn 60 blad a day with Taisus. And he wasn't the only one. He wasn't the only one. People think that Rav Baruch Baer dragged his feet and he only covered 10 blad a year. It's not true. Rav Baruch Baer maybe only gave Shia 10 blad a year. But the yeshiva learned all the Sichta. Not like today. People only covered the first 10 blad in every Sichta. Then they philosophize and they declare Chakiris, what would the din be? What would the din be? Look at Daf Chav and look at Daf Lamed and look at Daf Samach and look at Daf Ayin. Learn the rest of the Sichta. What are you philosophizing about? So it's a big problem, this division between the Iyun Seder and the Bikiya Seder is really a big problem. Rav Soloveitchik never liked this distinction. He used to cover, when he was healthy in the early years, he used to cover 60 blot a year in his shiur. When I was in the shiur, there was a Yeridus HaDeres already, he only covered 40 blot. He used to cover 40 blot with the Rishayim. He didn't feel it necessary to cover all of the Rishayim. He was only interested always in Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam, because we have Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam on all of Shas. The other Rishayim, we don't have all of Shas. So he said, these three have all of Shas. So you can always check what they say in all the other Mesichtas to make sure that you got it straight. Now, we have to learn every Reb Shlomo Menahor and the Meiri. He used to, in fact, get angry when a student would tell him the Meiri. He used to step, he said, will you stop bothering me with your Meiris? Just concentrate, my Rashi, and tell you, what are you hacking about all the other Mishnah? He used to be upset why the boys are looking in all of these exotics. Now, in the last 50 years, since he gets, now that 10 times as many Mishnah, you can get bogged down on the first line of the Masichta with so many Mishnah, you never move. You have to cover ground, you have to learn traditionally in Europe. They didn't have so many Kisra yet. They had the Rashi Tosfos and the Rambam, and Shon, here and there you learn a Rashba, here and there you learn a Rosh, here and there there's an important Rosh. You look at the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. They tell you when one or the other Rishonim has something important to say. But the main thing is Gemara Rashi and Tosfos. He didn't like this distinction between Bikiyas and Iyun. He thought that it's not healthy to learn the same Sichta two, three Siddurim a day. It's going to get annoying to keep on learning the same thing all day long, same Sichta. So he thought the afternoon Seder should be a different Perek, or a different Mesichta, and I'd say there should be a different pairing, different Mesichta, to have a variety. And all the Siddurim should be a combination of Bikiyus and Iyun. He didn't think it makes sense to cover so much ground poorly. He didn't think that you have to learn Bikiyun Nimrats. Cover the Gemara. Gemara Rashi tells you, you should know what it says, what the Shittas are. And a little bit of a Hasbar, and you go back there, you move on. You don't keep on staying in the same place. We live in a generation that everybody's talking about a derech and learning. A derech and learning. What does it mean, a derech and learning? So when we learned in the yeshiva, the derech was, when you know 1,000 dinim, if you know 1,000 dinim, so you try to discern a pattern. Which dinim are related, which dinim are not related. A lot of times you look in the Masoras HaShas. Masoras HaShas is Givaldik. A lot of times he tells you, Ayin Tosfos Yeramis. If he tells you to look in the Tosfos, you should follow instructions. Look in the Tosfos. A lot of times Masoras HaShas just gives you cross-references where the same phrase appears in other Masechtos. A lot of times the exact same phrase, the same expression appears, but it doesn't at all mean the same thing. A lot of times you have a totally different phrase used, and it means exactly the same thing. So that's what a derech learning is. Derech is, if you know 1,000 dinim, which dinim are related, despite the fact that they don't appear with the same lashon? Which dinim are unrelated, despite the fact that they appear with the exact same language, the exact same terminology? That's what a derech is. People think that a derech is declare hakiris. The philosophers declare hakiris. I remember Rav Soloveitchik said, my grandfather never declared any hakiris. He said, a grandfather of Chaim used to learn Gemara, Rashi and Tosfos. And he saw how come Rashi says this and Tosfos says that. I said, oh, Rashi obviously understood the din like this. Tosfos obviously understood the din like that. So in presenting the shir, his presentation would be such, he would say, there's a din in the Chumash, a din in the Mishnah, and you can clear a Hakira. And obviously Rashi thinks like this, Tosfos thinks like that. That's not the way he learned. That was how he presented his lecture. That's why he presented the shir. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik never declared Hakiris. He said his grandfather Abchaim never declared Hakiris. What right do we have to declare Hakiris? You learn the Gemara, you learn the Dinim. Sometimes there's a Din that's unclear. It's Taka Shaila, what's the Din? Is it Osir Amutta? Is it this? Is it that? Okay, it's the Gel Halacha. But every single Din in the Gemara declares, is it a Chepta, is it a Gabra, is it a Malois, is it a Superman, is it a bird, is it a plane, is it a Superman? Everything is a Hakira. It's ridiculous. That's not a Derech Halacha. The Derech is when you have all the data, when you have 1,000 pieces of information, like a scientist, when he has all the data, so he tries to discern a pattern. That's what a derech is in learning. But you have to know the 1,000 pieces of information. You have to have the data. Learning is a very serious matter. A lot of people learn in a fashion as if they're playing a game. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a siman in Yerodei Kuf Nun Zayin, the siman about Yehoreg Bal Yavar. So on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch, they refer to a Yamshal Shlomo in Bava Kamma, the Marshal, as a sefer on Bava Kamma. A few other masechtas is called Yamshal Shlomo. He writes a very fascinating chiddush that if a person misrepresents the Dina HaTorah, he says over the Dina incorrectly, this is considered such a serious aver that it's Yehorig Val Yavar. Yehorig Val Yavar? How can it be Yehorig Val Yavar? If you tell a lie, I talk on the telephone and someone asks where you're calling from, I say, I'm calling from Tel Aviv, I'm calling from New York. So that's not right. It's an aver to tell a lie. But to tell a lie is not Yehorig Val Yavar. But to tell a lie by Dina HaTorah, that's Yehorig Val Yavar. He interprets this in the Gemara. The Gemara tells a story in Bava Kamma Daf Lamaches that the Roman government sent two representatives to the Rabbonim at the time that Torah Sheba'al Peh was not yet recorded. It wasn't written down. So they didn't know what it said in Torah Sheba'al Peh. So they came and they said the rabbi should teach them Kol HaTorah Kulo. So they learned Kol HaTorah Kulo. They learn Kol HaTorah Kulo. We sit and learn in the yeshivas from kindergarten till after we get married on 16. How can a goyim learn Kol HaTorah Kulo? But they stay for 20 years. Strange story. The Marshal is going to explain in a minute. So they said, Martin, they learned Kol HaTorah Kulo with them. They learned all the Mishnayos. Then they were about to leave, so they said, your religion is beautiful. We like the whole Torah. There are a couple of dinim that we're not too happy about. How come? It's in Bava Kamma. How come? Shor shel Yisrael shel nogach shor shel nochri. If the Jew's behavior causes damage to the nochri, he doesn't have to pay. And if the shor shel nochri, nogach shor shel Yisrael, how come we discriminate against the non-Jews? And we say that they're chayv to pay nezek shalom even a short time, and we are behemoth part of the government. How come when a non-Jewish woman is about to give birth, the Jewish doctor is not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save her life? And how come for a Jewish person who are allowed to be mechal Shabbos? A couple of them that discriminated against the non-Jews, they were unhappy about, but they promised that they're not going to mass it to the Roman government because they were very happy. They thought the rest of the Jewish religion was very beautiful. And then that's all the Gemara tells them. The Sifrei continues the rest of the story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't trust them, that they promised they're not going to mass it to the Roman government. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to forget the dinim that they were unhappy about. And when they came back to Rome, they gave a report. Jewish religion is beautiful, no problems. So the Mashal asks, first of all, what do you mean? The two Goyish representatives came and they learned all of Mishnah, Shishasir Mishnah. They learned Kol HaTorah. That's ridiculous. We sit and learn in yeshivas forever. We don't succeed in learning. How can it be? And then he asks, the Chachamim didn't realize it could be a sakonis nefashis. They'll kill all the rabbis. Why didn't tell them the dinim that are discriminatory? They should have skipped the dinim. Nothing was written down. They didn't have art scroll. So tell them the dinim is that the Kovet Ha'odam, Tzalim Alekim, Pikuach Nefesh, Nizdech HaShabbos, Jew, non-Jew. Why did they have to tell them the truth? Why didn't they misrepresent and tell them that we equate Jews and non-Jews? So the Marshal thinks that the story must be, they must have come with a list of pointed questions. They didn't come and say, teach us Kol HaTorah Kulo. Must have come with a list of pointed questions to discern, to ascertain whether the Jewish religion discriminates against the non-Jews. And they asked, what's the din? Is Pikuach Nefesh Derech HaShabbos for Jews only or for non-Jews as well? What's the din of Shor Shel Yisrael Shenogach Shor Shel Lachem? What's the din of Shor Shel Lachem Shenogach Shor Shel Yisrael? Otherwise, he said, it doesn't make sense that they were sitting and learning Kol HaTorah Kulo. And then he asked, but the second question, it's doch pikuach nefesh, it's such a serious averi, not allowed to tell a lie. The rabbis were so foolish, they didn't realize going to tell them the Jewish religion does discriminate in certain cases against the non-Jews. So tell them we never discriminate. Nothing is written b'ksav, so tell them a lie. Mishum pikuach nefesh. So he says, no, to tell a lie in Mila Dalma is an averi kala. To tell a lie, to misrepresent what the Din HaTorah is, that's Yehorig Val Yavar. Why should that be Yehorig Val Yavar? The answer is that learning Torah is not a game. We believe that the Torah is a description of the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash on Parshas Mishpatim quotes a medrash on the Pasuk that if a person kills B'shogeg, he has to run to the Ori Miklot. So the Pasuk says, V'cholekim inin liyadoi. If it wasn't his fault that he killed the person, it was accidental. V'cholekim inin liyadoi. So run away to one of the six Ari Miklot. So Rashi and Nachumish quotes a medrash commenting on the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. It says, "Kasheyama hamashal hakadmani merishayim yetzei resha." As the ancient proverb goes, that all bad things emanate from bad people. So the fellow who killed Bishegeg, he must have done something wrong before that he deserves to go to the Dora Mikla. It wouldn't just happen like this. Kadosh Baruch Hu must have chosen him. Kadosh Baruch Hu caused me to kill the fellow Bishegeg, that I should have to run to the Dora Mikla because I deserve some kind of a punishment for something else that I did. So Rashi quotes the Medrash explaining what the Loshon HaPosuk is in Sefer Shemot. Kasha Yoyma HaMoshal HaKadmoini. As the ancient proverb goes, as it does mean an ancient proverb, the word HaKadmoini is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who Kadmonu Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who was there before the world was created. He created the world Yesh Mayayim. He was the only thing that was in existence. Einot Melvada, there was nothing else, not there no other gods. There was nothing else in existence before God created the world. And the Torah is called Moshal HaKadmoini. It does mean the ancient proverb. It means the Moshal HaKadmoini. The Torah is a Moshal, number one, authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's the Moshal HaKadmoini, he's the author of the Torah. But more than that, number two, it's a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chavetz Chaim writes in one of his Svarim in the Shem Olam, the Moshal HaKadmoini is like a photograph. If I've never seen Mr. Obama in person, but I saw his photograph in the newspapers, I saw his face on television. So if I'll be walking in Washington near the White House and I'll see a person who looks like that, I'll be able to identify, this is Mr. Obama. I know what he looks like based on the photograph. So the Torah is a mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's also a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a photograph of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know what he's like. So he gave us the Torah from the beginning to the end. This is a description of Elokus. Chaim Elojen writes in Nefesh HaChaim, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given us, just like we cannot understand Elokus, the Kuzari has such a lotion, and other Rishonim have such a lotion. Ili Yadaitiv Ayisiv. If I would understand Elokus, I would be the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. The only one who can really understand Elokus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's L'mayla Me'hasogas, but we can't have any understanding at all. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us an inkling of what he's all about, so he gave us a mashal. So Rabbi Chaim Elojen writes, if he would have given us a mashal, we wouldn't understand anything of the mashal. He gave us a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of a mashal. The Torah is not a direct mashal. It's a far-fetched, a mashal of a mashal. So learning Torah means we're learning about the essence of Elokus. If a person is going to misrepresent what the halacha is, sometimes people make a mistake. Look, there's a machlekes, whether a shibud deraisa, lav deraisa. So maybe one of them made a mistake. Machlekes, whether yush, lav does have yush. Whatever, the halacha is full of machlekes. So if someone made a mistake, he made a mistake. What can you do? But if a person knows the din is X and he misrepresents it on purpose and he says, why? This is considered such a serious avera. He's describing a different God. Because the Torah is a description of Elokus. So if he on purpose misrepresents the halacha, this is equivalent to Avodah Zarah. He's describing, he believes in a different God. It's a different religion. That's what the Yamshel Shleimer comments, and it's quoted, if you look in Yeridaya. I don't sit and read Yamshel Shleimer, as I ought to. We all ought to. It's Gevaldi and Sefer. But this one is quoted in Yeridaya, on the bottom of the page. It's in the Kuf Nun Zayin. Learning Torah is a very serious thing. Some people learn Torah like a game. Cheerful, everdick, having popcorn and kidding around, they have the knees crossed, sitting around, joking. Maybe it's like this, a chakir, is it a cheft, so he's got pop, 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 pop. He's got a rye from here, a rye from there. Everything is a big game. You're not supposed to treat learning Torah as a game. Dovin HaMelech was punished because he said, Zmiris HaYalichu Kecha. You're not supposed to be in such a cheerful mood. The Gemara says, "Call Talmud Shein Sufsosav Notvus Moiroiver." Tichvenu. When the Talmud sits and he listens to the Shir, he's learning Torah. You have to be serious. You don't have to be morose. The Chumash says there's one of the 613 mitzvahs. The 613th mitzvah, the last of the 613 mitzvahs in Chumash, is a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. Everyone should either write a Sefer Torah, commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah. Because it says, the Pshut Hashem Mikra is telling, HaKadosh Baruch is telling Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua Benun that you should write Shiva Sazinu. And the Torah Sheval Peh has a tradition that there's an additional level of interpretation in that pasuk, Kisvah Lachem Asashir Hazayis. Every Jewish man has an obligation to write the entire Sefer Torah from the beginning to the end. So the Sefer Torah is referred to as a Shira. So the Mefarshim asks Akasha, why was David HaMelech punished because he said Zmiris or Yelichu Kecho, that Liman HaTorah is like Zmiris, but the Chumash refers to the Torah as Shira. So apparently there's a difference between a shira and smiris. Smiris means a lot of the people today, you look around in the yeshivas, they develop an attitude of arrogance. We are shutfing with the Rebbeinu Shlom and developing the halacha. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave us the Torah Shebaal Peh. So we have a lot of input. There's a lot of rabbinic inputs, just like the Tanaim had a right to say that. We also have a right to say. So we're making chakiris. It's a heft, it's a gabbana. I'm going to print the Shtikot Torah in the Choveris of Chidush Torah, of the Yeshiva, and so on. And they treat everything as a big game. So that's not permissible. That's not proper. Now let me say, Zmiris or Lichel Kech. It's not a game. It's a serious thing. It should be cheerful. You should realize it's a serious matter. You're studying about what the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And you should be very careful, as much as possible, not to distort, not to be misalef the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it should be a cheerful enterprise, because we are learning about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hoy v'hado lefano hoy zecher v'bim kaima. The Gemara says, Ein atzutz lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When one is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's full of simcha. So when a person learns Torah and he understands what it says, he's getting to understand better because he's coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That should be maybe simcha. The pleasure and the joy that one experiences when he understands something on Torah, when a person works hard and he discovers what the correct shot is, does not diminish from the schar that he deserves for learning Torah. It does make it into Shalai Lishma. He's supposed to enjoy learning. When we say the Bicha Satar in the morning, we say, Baharav Nashem Alkein is Dibri Saroscha. Kadosh Baruch Hu should make it pleasant, Kishmak, we should enjoy the learning. We should have Hanof in the learning. The Egli Tal has in the Hagdamah to his Sefer. And Hilchos Shabbos, a whole, he brings out this point, that having pleasure, having Hanof from learning Torah is a chelik, an integral part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He's supposed to. That's what it means, Kisvu Lechem Es HaShira HaZayis. The Torah is supposed to be a Shira. It's not the same as Miris. Apparently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu discerned in the Lashon that David HaMelech said, Miris Ailichu Kechem is a little too much Hanoah. Like some of the Baruchim today, they mix in too much of their own ego, a little too much arrogance. When they're pulling on the Gemara and they're treating Liman HaGemara as if it's a game. Not supposed to be a game. It's a serious thing, but one should have pleasure at the time that he learns. There is an issue that has to be addressed a little bit. Liman HaTorah Shalo Lishma. Tosis, in the Rishon, Rashi and Tosis points out there is a contradiction between different passages in the Gemara. One Gemara says that a person who learns Torah Shalo Lishma, it would have been healthier for him, Ilo Nebcha Shel Yosei Alpanov, if he would have died as a fetus before he was born. It's so terrible a thing to learn Torah Shalom Lishma. Being born was a tragedy for that person. Terrible, terrible. The other Gemara says, not so bad. The other Yasek learned Torah Shalom Lishma. It's not so bad if you learn Shalom Lishma. So this is the kasha that Rashi and Tosfos all of Rishonim are bothered with. So the standard explanation that's given, Rashi and Tosfos explain the different kinds of Shalom Lishma. A person learns Shalom Lishma, let's say it was Yodua in Europe, in the Mir Yeshiva before the war, they offered an award of $100 to the one who had mastered Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basu, and Taisus in 1 year. $100 was like $10,000 today. $100 was an awful lot of money. So people sat down and they learned, and then the prize was given to one that person was a Rebbe in YU, he's a guy who passed away from Brad Bornstein. Everyone was learning, they were learning Shalom Lishma in order to get to $100. So the Gemara said, not so bad if you learn Shalom Lishma. The end was that he knew Baba Kama, Baba Tzeva, and Basra from cover to cover with all the Taisus. It's not so bad. Other people who learn, they learn Gemara and they take the Pchinas and they get checks in the mail if you do well on Pchinas. What's so bad? You're learning Shalom Lishma to make money. Okay, you need some incentive. One person learns Shalom Lishma in order to gain cover. So the world doesn't come to an end. You tell Shalom Lishma, Baal Lishma. That can it be? He's going to be learning the whole time. The whole year that he was learning Baba Kama, obviously he was thinking about the $100 the whole year. No, in the beginning, in the end, he thought, in the middle he was learning, he was thinking about learning. Most of the time, 95% of the time, he was learning. 5% of the time, he had the $100 bill in front of his eyes. Part of it was Shalom Lishma. You tell Shalom Lishma, Baal Lishma. 95% of the time is going to be learning the Shema. A person learns in order to get covered. So every minute of his learning is Shema, the Shema. 5% of the learning is going to be, he's going to be thinking about the cover that he's going to get at the end. 95% of the time he's going to be learning. He's going to forget about the cover that's going to come at the end. So the Gemara says the world doesn't come to an end. It's not so terrible. We tell Shalom Lishma, Bo Lishma. But Tosfos said there's another kind of Shalom Lishma. Rashi and Tosfos said it's another kind of Shalom Lishma. That the person learns Lekanter. He just learns in order to show up the other people, but they don't know. He wants to step on the others. That's terrible. That's Nach Le'ilin Ebchishol Yosel Ponim. That's terrible. Remember when I was single learning in Rav Soloveitchik's class, and there was a young man who was learning, a lot of people learning the same part. There's one man learning, he says he wants to learn by Rav Soloveitchik so long, so many years, till he'll be able to show everybody a Mishnah and a Masechta and ask everybody, challenge everybody, what's Pshat over here, how do you read? And I'll be the only one. I'll be the only one who knows Pshat. That was Mamish Lekanta. He was learning Rav Soloveitchik, Mamish literally Lekanta. And he's still the same Meshuggah that he always was. And he's a Rebbe in one of the famous yeshivas. That's Mamish Lekanta. It's not so bad to learn Shalom Lishma for the sake of Kovid, for the sake of Mammon, if anyone's giving out money for the sake of Mammon. But to learn Lekanta, that's what Tosfos says, Noach lo ilu nepcha shel yoser aponov. Abchaim Eloshiner in Nefesh HaChaim is a whole section about the significance of Lima HaTorah. He has certain details about learning Torah. So he has a comment on the Loshon HaGemara, Le'olam Yasekodim. He says, the Chachamim recommended, when you encourage little children to learn, so you always have to promise them some reward. So when they're little, you promise them candies and they're happy. Then they get a little older, so they need toys. Candies, you can't fool us with that junk. Candies, they need whatever, iPods, whatever. The three-year-olds need an iPod, right? Then when they get older, you got to give them money. You have to get it bigger. Then we get older, then you're covered. Then the incentive is covered. Different people have different yetzahar, they want different things. But Chaim Elojana says, you have to give people an incentive. So the Chachamim are encouraging us, you should always encourage people to learn Shalom Lishma. It's a strong incentive. We talk Shalom Lishma, Bo Lishma. 95% of the time he'll be learning, not to shame the tachlis. He won't be dreaming about the $100 and about the iPod. 5% of the time, his mind will be thinking about the prize that he's going to get about the cup. Chaim Elojana says, not so terrible, but one has to be careful that it shouldn't be the other kind of Shalom Lishma, shouldn't be Lekanter. The Netziv has in his Chubis and in his commentary on Chumash in different places, and all of his Svarim usually has, whenever he has an insight, so he writes it in quite a few places and he gives you a cross-reference. So the Netziv has another suggestion, also interesting. To learn what it says, Shalom Lishma, that's not so good. You're learning Gemara, you're learning Shulchan Aruch. You're learning Bavakama, but Siva Basa in order to get $100. So to learn Shalom Lishma, the Gemara says not so good. But to be Mechadish, Shalom Lishma, that's not permissible. To be Mechadish has to be L'shem Shema. Chiddush is if a person is learning. I remember there was a boy, also a classmate of mine, Rabbi Soloveitchik's Shir, also a prominent figure today. So remember, he was learning a Masechta. The first time in his life he ever looked at the Masechta. He's already sitting with a pen and a pad. He's writing a Sefer already. What are you writing a Sefer? You didn't even learn the Masechta. He's learning the Masechta in order to be Mechadish, in order to write a Sefer. That's not right. That's supposed to learn in order to be Mechadish. You learn what Torah, what the Rebbe Shalom gave us in Torah. You learn the Torah. If Min HaShemayim, a Chiddush will fall into your mind. You'll work hard in order to figure out Pshat. If a chiddush will occur to you, fine, so you write it down, so you shouldn't forget. But to learn, in order to be mechadish, in order to print a sefer, that's mamish, to be mechadish, Shalom Lishma, that's what the Netziv says, you're not allowed to do that. Then to print a sefer, Shalom Lishma, to print a sefer in order to get covered. The Gemara says, Torah Shebaal Peh is not supposed to be written down, it's supposed to be transmitted Baal Peh. Torah Shebaal is supposed to be written down. How come they wrote down the Mishnayos and the Gemara? So the Gemara says in Tmura, they saw that if we're not going to write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, it's going to be forgotten. So Islas Islashem, Eferet Erasecha. It's a problem. What does that mean? Yesh Koach Laka B'Kol Yaseh. It's a problem how you read that. So the Gemara says, Islas Islashem, if you're doing L'Shem Shamayim, Eferet Erasecha, you're allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh in a Sefer. So some are Dakrayim, some Sefer, and others have a whole discussion. What if I'm printing a Sefer Shalom Lishma? Not that I'm afraid the Torah will be forgotten. I want to get a job. So I want everybody to know what a big Talmud Chacham I am. So I publish a sefer in order to get a position. I remember there was a fellow who lived near me in the Bronx. He wanted to marry the Chassidish Rebbe's daughter. He was a Baal Teshuva. His parents weren't religious. The Chassidish Rebbe is never going to let you marry his daughter. You can be Moshe Rabbeinu. Chassidish Rebbe will rather pick an Am Haaretz, who's an Einikel from a Chassidish Rebbe, rather than to have his daughter marry the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, who's not a Chassidish Einikel. So this tippish, he published a sefer in order to prove to the Rebbe what a big Talmud Chacham he was, that he should marry the Rebbe's daughter. Of course, he never married the Rebbe's daughter. Nothing ever came from him. He works in a post office or something. With all that learning that he had, he works for the government, garnish, nothing ever came from him. He never had to publish a sefer, Shemai Vishmai. The whole heter to print Torah Shebal Peh is Eslas Eslashem, if it's L'Shem Shemai. If it's not L'Shem Shemai, there's no heter. People have to be careful. Not to be mechadish shelo lishma, and certainly not to publish Torah shelo lishma. And after we leave the yeshiva, some will be zeicha shift to be beis Hashem kol yimei chayav. Some will be zeicha to sit and learn in yeshiva for the rest of their lives. Klal Yisrael needs people in rabbanus and achinuch all over the world. They need an all different madregas. Even if you're not in the madrega to give the highest shiur in the yeshiva, we need people to teach kindergarten. We need people to teach first grade, second grade, third grade. We need all over the world. We need for adults. We need adult education. We need everything. We need people in rabbanus all over. So everyone should consider the possibility of going to Rabbanus Hachina, but not everybody's cut out for that. So many will leave. Many will leave the Beis HaMedrash. When one leaves the Beis HaMedrash, you have to still continue to learn. We have the Pasuk in Kriya Shema that we recite every day. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. One of the difficult mitzvahs, develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol levavcha. How do you do that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible. How do you develop a love for the invisible being? So Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, the next pasuk tells you, "V'ha'yu hadvar ma'ele," but even haTorah. That's how one develops a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how does that work? Because you learn Torah, how does that help one develop a love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the two levels of understanding. One is like we explained before, that the Torah is a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mashal HaKadmayim. The pasuk refers to the Torah as a mashal HaKadmayim. The love for some other being depends on the extent that I'm familiar with the other person. When a boy marries a girl, obviously they think each one has milas. So they love the other one's milas. Then when they live together and they get to know more of their milas, we hope they'll find that they have more milas that they weren't aware of before, then their love will grow, their love will develop. To the extent that you know the other person's milas, to that extent you will develop an avam. The Rambam writes that in one place. So the other way to develop the yediyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by learning his Torah. The Torah is a mashal of a mashal of a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the only way to get a handle on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like. So the only way to fulfill v'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha is through yediyah Hashem. Yediyah Hashem is through learning Torah. This is on one level of understanding. Rav Soloveitchik used to point out another level. You have Midrashim, where the Midrashim develop an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cherishes the Torah like a father loves his daughter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Torah. So he used to comment on the Pasuk in Parashat Bereishis, Al Ken Yazavish, Asavi Vazima, Vedavik Bishta, Vahoy Labasar Echad. Husband and the wife have to love each other. Gemara says, in Kiddush, at the beginning of the second parak, no. If you marry a girl without getting to know her first, so you may not be happily married later on, and then you be a violation of the Hafta the Racha Kamoicha. You see that the Hafta the Racha Kamoicha applies to different people to a different extent. There is no mitzvah to love my next door neighbor's wife to the same extent as I love my own wife. I'm not supposed to love someone else's wife to the same extent. I'm supposed to love my wife more than other people. So that's what Gemara says. The Hafta the Racha Kamoicha applies more so to my wife and to everybody else. And if the guy never met the girl before he gets married, he's going to be Kaddish Anisha, Kredim Shirena Tchila, so he may possibly be in violation later of the Hafta L'Racha Kamoicha. So the Torah tells us a couple should get married. They should love each other. They should get married. And then the pasuk says, "V'hoyu lebosar echod." So Rashi interprets, when they have a baby together, then they become lebosar echod. What does that mean? Rav Soloveitchik used to explain that the father loves the baby and the mother loves the baby. So the father and the mother both love the same person. So this makes a closer love between the father and the mother. Parents love each other by the time they got married. Okay, Azavish Vidavik Bishto. He loves his wife. They love each other more because the father loves the child and the mother loves the child. Rav Soloveitchik said the same is true by the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midrash can tell us based on Sukkim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cherishes the Torah, loves the Torah like his daughter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave over his daughter to the Bnei Yisrael. He gave us the Torah, Matan Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Torah. So if we will develop an Abbas HaTorah, even let's say Rav Soloveitchik used to say, even let's say a Baal HaBasim who can't understand Torah, but he should organize shiurim in the shul. He should organize. He should demonstrate Abbas HaTorah. Even if you don't have Liman HaTorah, but you should at least develop an Abbas HaTorah. So when we have Abbas HaTorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Abbas HaTorah. So this will link us together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and strengthen the love that we have for each other. These are some of the ideas that we have to have in mind when we're learning. It's a serious enterprise. We're becoming shutzim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah Shebal Peh. Do we have a share? The Rambam calls a lot of Torah Shebal Peh Dibrei Sofrim. There's a lot of rabbinic input, not only on the Dinim Derabban. There's rabbinic input on the level of Dinim Deraisa. The Rambam quotes the Gaonim who are of the opinion that Kol Ma Shetamed Vasa Kosa L'Chadosh Ne'emad on the Moshe Nisina has to be taken literally. Everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam says that that's an embarrassment to say like that. It cannot be. If that's so, so comes that every machlekes in the Gemara is because of shikha. So we forgot 99% of the Torah. It's an embarrassment for Klal Yisrael. The Rambam says it doesn't mean that. The midrash Torah and Rashi were given to the Bnei Yisrael to use these midrash to develop the Torah. We became shutzim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu developing the Torah. He gave us the Torah Shebizal. He gave us the rules and regulations with which to manipulate. And then he transmitted attitudes to us. We have a Masor of Torah Shebal Peh on certain attitudes, and based on those attitudes and ideas, we're supposed to read in between the lines of the Chumash using the Bina Shatar and Asheshbam to become Shutfim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to develop certain parts of the Torah Shebal Peh. We are Shutfim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it shouldn't go to our heads. We shouldn't become Bali Gaivim. The more a person discovers in learning, so it means the closer he's coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he should be more simcha. That's why he should become more humble. When a person can be a Baal Gaiva, but if he comes in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is there to be a Baal Gaiva about? How is it possible for a big Talmud Chacham to be a Baal Gaiva? It's a contradiction. As I mentioned, has a whole essay about that. Liman HaTorah V'Anibus. How is it possible that a person who learns Torah, he's discovering more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming? He's coming in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you learn more Torah, you discover more. It means you're coming closer to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like. She should melt away in insignificance. How can one become a Baal Gaiva? You have to have a certain degree of self-confidence. The Rebbeinu Shlomo wants us to have oomph. He wants us to have a little Gaiva. What the Lubavitcher you call Gaiva de Kedusha. Now they have the story in the Chutam Shulash. Chutam Shulash is a biography of the three generations, Rabbi Akiva Eger, and one of his sons-in-law was the Chassam Sefer, the Chassam Sefer's son was the Tzav Sefer. I think the Sefer is written by one of the sons of the Tzav Sefer. So they have all the stories from the family about the three generations. So they have the official story about the Chassam Sefer when he was a Bar Mitzvah Bach. His father, Chassam Sefer, was brought up in Frankfurt. He was a Yekin. He signed all of his tshuvas. Meisha HaKotam in Frankfurt. In Frankfurt. He served in Rabbanus in Hungary, in Presburg, but he always wanted to go back to Frankfurt. He was a Yekke at heart. He wasn't really a Hungarian. So his father was a Fruma Yekke, not that early. So when he was a Bar Mitzvah Bach, he said his own Shtickel Torah. So the Shtickel Torah was, he quoted something from an Elder Zeder, who wrote a Sefer on the Zikin, I think it's Koisis Shuas, and Koisis Yeshuas, Yeshuas is Seder in the Zikin. So he quoted something from an Elder Zeder, and he shlugged it up. He showed that it wasn't right. So the father got so incensed. What do you mean? A 13-year-old boy? A little pisha? He gets up in public and he says a shtigl Torah to disagree with Delta Zeta. So he slapped him in public and says, Chotzov, how do you have the gall to disagree? So his Rebbe was there, Nas Nabla. So he said, why did you slap the little boy? The little boy is right. The great-grandfather is wrong. So he thought, Nas Nabla thought it was one of the strangest things in the history of Talmid HaChachamim. Nas Nabla told the child, the Chassam Sofer, they should move out of his father's home and move in by him. Very strange. They didn't have his eye on him, he should marry his daughter. He did not marry his daughter. His daughter married somebody else. He said, if you're going to stay by your father, you're going to ask Akasha on the Gemara, your father's going to slap you. Apikaris, how can you ask? You're going to ask Ashver Rashi, Ashver Taisa, Ashver Rami. Father's going to slap you every time you ask Akasha. You won't be able to develop and learn it. The only way to develop and learning is to have a little bit of self-confidence, to have a little chutzpah, to have a little gaiba de kedusha. You have to be chutzpah a little bit. Gemara even says, when the Rebbe sits with the Talmidim and the father sits and he learns with his son, the Talmidim have to have a little chutzpah against the Rebbe. And the son has to be a little chutzpah to the father. He has to challenge the father. It doesn't make sense. The Gemara says, Kamen, Gemara Kedushin, comments on the Pasuk in Balak. No, Esvahedu. How does it go? Okay, Yom HaBetzeichem, Mohammed Hashem, Esvahedu, Sufa, Besanachol HaMarnon, and so on. The Gemara says, Mohammed Hashem, when the father and the son are learning, and when the Rebbe and the Talmud are learning, there's a Muhammad going on. And the Talmud and the son have to be disrespectful to the Rebbe. The Chassam Sofer had to be disrespectful to the Elter Zeta. If it does, you have to ask a kasha. You have to be chutzpahdim. You're going to be very dainty and very proper about everything. So you'll never ask any kashas. You have to be chutzpahdim. After you finish learning, then Esra Hei Pesufa, then the Ahava has to come back. Then you have to have Derech Eretz for each other. Then the Talmud has to have Derech Eretz for the Rebbe, and the son has to have Derech Eretz for the father. It's interesting. There's a little book in English that's written for young children. One of my sons got it as a bar mitzvah gift. So I read it in an hour. You can read the whole book. It tells the whole story about the Hatzolah of the Miri Yeshiva. They like plotting the whole story, the way they were saved from the Nazis, the way they went on the Transcontinental Railroad to Vladivostok, and then they saved the whole thing. It was a mile and a half, the whole thing was fantastic. So one chapter they have translated from Polish. It was not a chartered train. Most of the people on the train were non-Jews. All of these rabbis, all these Talmid HaChacham were on the train together with the non-Jews. So one of the Polish non-Jews printed his memoirs. And they translated into English one page from the memoirs of the Goy. So he writes, he couldn't figure out these Jewish people. Obviously they're Jewish, they have beards, gemaras and so on. He says, when the big books were opened, they were screaming at each other and insulting each other. Idiot, pyre, what are you talking about? Because they were talking and learning. So they were screaming. And he thought they didn't like each other. Then the minute they would close the big books, they were lovey-dovey. They were the best of friends. He couldn't make it out. What's going on? Do they love each other? Do they hate each other? That's exactly the way the Gemara describes. Be sure, when the Talmud learns by the Rebbe and the son is learning by the father, Melchames Hashem, they're killing each other. What are you talking about? Well, chutzpah has to be with chutzpah. But then, Esvahe Besufa, after they close the big books, it's Ahava, they have to show Ahava. So it is important to have self-confidence. You have to have what the Lubavitcher calls Gaiva de Gedusha. You have to have a little self-confidence when you're learning Gemara. You have to be able to, if something does make sense, you have to be cautious. I remember on one occasion when these cardinals came to visit the yeshiva, so they're trying to figure out how to save their religion in Europe. Whoever goes to university does want to go to the theological seminar. So originally when Cardinal Lustiger came, he was a Meshuggah. He was born Jewish, Lustiger, and his parents gave him over to Catholics that they should save him when they were killing all the Jews. And then he converted as a young child. He converted. He became a big Gala. He was a Cardinal of Paris, and he died a few years ago. He used to go every year on his mother's yard site to the death camp to say Kaddish, the Catholic Cardinal. So when he came to the yeshiva, he thought he's going to find a solution to their problem. What do we have that they don't have? What's the secret? They realize we have the true religion, they have the false religion. What do we have that? So I'm the founder of Mishigas, the Chavrusa system. That's what they don't have. So they're going to look, they're going to try to figure out what's going on in the Chavrusa system and how they should introduce it in theological sense. That should save their Avodah Zarah religion. So they had a couple of galochim walked into the Beis Medrash, and tiptoeing around, walking around. So the Mashgiach and Yeshiva announced, Rabbi Brah announced, a couple of Galachim soon coming. Mind your own business, don't talk to them, just keep on learning. They make believe that they're not here. So Galachim are roaming around. And the guys are screaming at each other. Hey, what are you talking about? It's not Pshat and Taisis. And he's getting so excited, screaming, it's Harusa. And everybody was ignoring the Galach. So the Galach taps the guy on the shoulder, he says, he didn't speak English well, broken English, he was a European, so he said, excuse me, what are you getting so excited about? What are you screaming about? So the guy looks up, and sees a guy. So he has to explain to him in English. So he tells him everything in English. God gave us a commandment, a mitzvah, to study the Torah. And the Torah has to make sense. Everything in the Torah has to make sense. And if we come upon a passage in the Talmud that doesn't make sense, we have to ask all the questions till we get a correct answer. And my study partner suggested an interpretation, and it doesn't make sense to me. So we have to argue with that till it makes sense. That's why he's screaming, because the Torah has to make sense. So the Galach blurted out, ooh, in our religion, we're never allowed to ask any questions. You ask a question, that'll be the end of the whole religion. So you have to have, when you learn Torah, you have to have self-confidence, a little bit. You have to have a little bit chutzpah. Guy with the kiddush, you have to have. You can believe in B'dachi Hashem, you have to have a little chutzpah, the kiddush, guy with the kiddush. But a person should realize when he discovers Amita Shel Torah, and there's a big simcha, when he's rejoicing that he's understanding Torah, means he's coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the chutzpah, the guy that has to melt away when you're in the presence of the Rebbe Shlom, you have to have an extreme degree of humility. The guy that has to melt away. Those who remembered Rav Soloveitchik, he was very much like that. When he would say the shiur, he'd be very chutzpahed. He would ask kashas with an oomph. And he would work hard. And when he wasn't giving the shiur, he was very humble. Only when he was working and learning. That's like the Gemara said, Mohammed Hashem. And that's why the Sufa. After the learning was over, he was pretty humble. He wasn't an arrogant person at all. These are some of the ideas we have to have in mind, the years that we're learning in the yeshivas. And after we leave the yeshivas, those who will leave the yeshivas, to keep that in mind afterwards.